Let's pray. Oh Lord, we thank you so much for all that you do, your provisions, your spirit, your son, and who you are. We know that everything we have is because of you, Lord, and we just have gratitude and thankfulness for it. We thank you for your word and how you establish things, and we thank you for the mothers. The nurturing and the love that they show, Lord, and the qualities that you gave them for the betterment of all of us. And we ask these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Okay, so this Sunday we're wrapping up our study on our authority. And this is week four of it. And some of the things that we covered on the way here was when we became born again, we became a child of God. We became co-heirs with Christ. And, so we need to accept this reality in our lives that we have authority just like Jesus did. We read the scriptures on it. And then we looked at how God made us a little lower than him, but above the angels. And Satan tries to deceive us of this, and he tries to make us think that we're below the angels, but actually they're servants of ours. So that's why he was jealous. That's why he wanted our authority. He didn't like his rule, so he took ours. Jesus came and he understood who he was. He learned who he was through the scriptures. And he walked in that authority, and he was a great example for us because we need to learn how to use our authority, and we can look to him, and we use our authority by speaking the word of God. So we looked at a lot of stuff besides that, but that was just a kind of a skimming of the top of kind of everything when how we got to here. So how do we walk in authority? Let's read Mark 5:25 through 34. Will somebody read that for us? I got these papers, but this scripture wasn't written on here.
Oh,
Mark 5:25 through 34. It's the woman with the issue of blood.
The woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" You see the people crowding against you, his disciples answered, and yet you can ask, "Who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be free from your suffering."
So it says that she didn't grow better, but only grew worse. This woman had this bleeding condition for 12 years. However, your authority will still work even if you have been dealing with something for a long time. So remember, we're talking about authority. We're using this story to show us about our authority. When we deal with chronic conditions, they can become a part of our identity. When I was dealing with my spinal cord thing, it was like, I'm Dan. I'm like this because I have a spinal cord injury. It's just, you start saying, this is who I am. This is, this causes, when you do that, it causes additional challenges than if you've been dealing with a headache for 5 minutes. Because now this thing has become like who you are. For example, when Carly had epilepsy, it had become an intrinsic part of her identity. My name is Carly and I have epilepsy. That's kind of who you say and who you are in your identity. So whether it's sick thinking or poverty thinking It gets down on the inside of you and changes how we relate to God, and to others and with the world around us. Then when we try to operate in authority, we wonder why it isn't working, and then we become frustrated. The main challenge that we face is a broken identity. The sickness had gotten down on the inside of us. We have to change our thinking before authority was going to work for us. So, I always use the example of like, I went to Caris for healing was here. And when I walked out of there, it's like, I am healed by Jesus' stripes. I am healed. That's who I am. I'm a healed person. And that's what had to change inside of me because, before I was like, I'm sick and I need Jesus to heal me and all those things. But when I walked out of there, I knew deep down inside of me I was healed. So there has to be a turning point
He says the words, right?
because the word says it. So regarding this lady, she heard the word. When she verse 27 and 28 says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. When she heard the word, she allowed it to spark faith on the inside of her. Faith is how we access the promises of God. Romans 5:2 says that. Can someone read that real quick?
5:2 says, through him we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God.
So again, faith is how we access the promises of God. That's how this woman accessed healing for herself through that faith when she heard about Jesus. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This woman didn't allow what she was hearing to just go in one ear and out the other. She allowed what she heard to drive her actions. James 2, we know about James 2, faith without works is dead. So she heard it, she had faith, and she went and acted on it. And then that's how she was able to access the promises of God. Hearing the word brings faith, and that faith influences our actions. We know this woman was impacted by what she heard because she acted on it. So that's why we looking at that story here. Action is the fruit of faith. She came behind him in the crowd. This woman could have been stoned for this because the law said that her condition, she was unclean and should have been isolated, unable to make physical contact with anyone. So she went out on a limb, knowing the consequences, but her faith said, I'm doing this, even if, punishment comes my way. Okay, why did she touch Jesus's garment? How does that signify authority? In the scriptures, garments are very important because they are a sign of authority and position. In Luke 15:22, the prodigal son, the father put the best robe on him, a ring on his finger, and sandals on his feet. He gave his son the identity of his son, regardless of the sin. No matter how far you've run or how long you've fallen, the minute you turn back to the Father and responding to his voice, you are back in the family. Your identity is restored. It is the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. That's Romans 2:4. You still in Romans? Or?
Yep. 2:4 says, or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?
It's the goodness of God that brings us to repentance. The ring is a symbol of authority, like a signet ring. That's a symbol of authority. The sandal exchange is a symbol of an exchange of identity. the story of Ruth, when Boaz exchanged the sandal to confirm redeeming and exchanging for Ruth and Naomi's land. Women might know that story better than I do. But I guess that sandal exchange is also in this prodigal son symbolism. In those days, the hem of the garment was a placeholder for authority. When King Saul was at David's mercy, David didn't kill Saul. He simply cut off the hem of his garment because it was a symbol of Saul's position and authority as the Lord's anointed. I know that story. You guys know that one? Okay. This woman touched the hem of Jesus' garment because this was the man of authority she was looking for to access the power that he had. In Numbers 15, 38, and 40, they talk about the tassels, and they were symbolic to remind them of the commandments as a reminder of their deliverance from Egypt. So the tassels at the hem of the garment. Mm-hmm. When she grabbed Jesus's clothing, she wasn't just hanging on, begging Jesus for help. She was grabbing onto the authority, a symbol of her deliverance. And her action caught on. Mark 6:56. Wherever he entered into villages, cities, or the country, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might just touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched him were made well. So the word spread. She reached out and touched the hem of his garment as a symbol of his authority. In Malachi 4:2, it says, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And that word for wings, it means wings, but also means the tips of the feathers. And it's also a word for the hem of the garment, the corner of the skirt or whatever
tassel is that.
Yeah. So that word there for wings also has a meaning in the clothing as well. So the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in the hem of his garments. You know, so maybe she heard that word. Maybe that's what sparked her faith, that if only I touched that. Maybe she understood that that meant authority. Yeah, so I just read that. The word for wings is the same word used in Numbers 15:38 for the corners of the fringe of the tassels on their robes. She knew when she saw the tassels, she knew there was healing in those tassels, in that garment. She determined with her words and actions that she would receive. For she said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. Jesus didn't determine how she would receive. She was the one who determined how she would receive her healing. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. God is waiting for you to use your authority. Jeremiah 1:12, I am ready to perform my word. God is ready to perform his word. We just have to use our authority and determine how, you know, we're going to receive it. So we get into the words we speak. John 6:63, Jesus says, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. It isn't the words that we think about that are spirit and life. It's the words that we speak and are spirit and life. What are the words you are speaking? Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. The authority that God has given you is released through the words that you speak. Again, it's not the words that we think. It's the words that we actually speak. God has given you power and authority, but he cannot grab your lips and make you speak. You must speak the word of God over your life. We don't even have to touch Jesus' clothes anymore because you have been filled with the power of Jesus on the inside of you. Y'all got that? It's a big point right there.
Say it again.
We don't even have to touch Jesus' clothes anymore because you have been filled with the power of Jesus on the inside of you. The word spirit in John 66, 63 is the Greek word pneuma, which is the very breath of God. So when we speak the word, it is the very breath and power of the Spirit of God that's coming out. Let that land for a minute. Because it landed on me when I first heard this. I'm like, yes. Yes. The word spirit in John 6:63 is the word pneuma, which is the very breath of God. So when we speak the word, it is the very breath and the power of the Spirit of God that's coming out because he's inside of us. The word of God will prosper in what it is sent to accomplish. That's Isaiah 55:11. The word is also the very life of God, the Zoe life, the vigorous life of God, the power-filled, blessed life that you are meant to live. John 10:10, the abundant life. When you are injecting the power of God into that situation, calling those things that be not as though they are. That's Romans 4:17. Still there, Micah? No, you don't have to read it. I think we know Romans 4:17. It pretty much says that calling those things that be not as though they are. Okay.
As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist.
We just got done talking about Abraham. So, God can't do this for you. We have to do this. The fact that as humans we have the ability to speak is a testament to the authority we have been given. If Eve had realized her authority, the minute the snake began to speak to her, she would have told him to shut up. I have authority over me. You don't talk to me. I talk to you. Remember last week we were talking about how do I use my authority? My dog's on the couch. I want him off. Do I think? You mean get off the couch? No, I use my voice and I say it with authority. Get off the couch. You know, that's using our words for our authority. The enemy was using unauthorized authority. He didn't have that authorization to do that when he deceived Eve. Your authority will not have any impact unless it's coming from a place of identity. You knowing who you are, right? We're going to say something, we're going to claim it. Do you do it with a question mark at the end of it? Or do you do it with an exclamation point like, I'm speaking this? You have the right to use the authority you've been given because your identity as a child of God. Matthew 17:20. So Jesus said to them, because of your unbelief, for assuredly, I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. If you have faith, you will say. Faith isn't silent, but unbelief also speaks. So what if nothing seems to change? Let's look at Mark 11, verse 12. Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat from you ever again, and his disciples heard it. So the disciples, they witnessed this event. They heard with their ears Jesus cursed the fig tree. Not only can your words speak life, our words can speak death as well. Remember, we just saw that in Proverbs. Speak death to the things of the enemy. In James 3, 1 through 12, this is about the tongue being the rudder. We don't need to read the whole thing there, but we must learn to tame our tongue so that we use it appropriately, because what comes out of our mouth steers our entire lives, like the rudder of a ship or the bit in a horse's mouth.
1 through 12.
Yeah, James 3:1-12.
My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Although they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they're turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts at great things. See how great a force a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a word of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh.
So listen to that, and we just covered, we have Jesus now on the inside of us, and the words that are coming out of our mouth. What happens when we're cursing our brothers and sisters? I mean, with Jesus on the inside of us, we don't want to be doing that. We want to bring honor to him. So we need to watch what we say, because there's so much power in what we say. Again, speaking of our authority. So Mark 11:20, back to this story in Mark 11 about the fig tree. Now in the morning, as they passed by, it was the next day, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed was withered away, or has withered away." So Jesus answered and said to them, "Have faith in God." I imagine that's how he said it. Duh. Have faith in God. "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Jesus is saying that you can't just be thinking it, you have to speak it. Have faith in God. Faith speaks. There's a lot more saying in those few verses than there is believing. Oftentimes, it isn't that what we are believing is wrong, it's that what we are speaking is not connected with what we are believing. Your authority is released through your words. It's important to note that verse 20 specifies that in the morning, the disciples noticed that the tree had dried up from the roots. In Matthew's account, he writes the same story in Matthew 21. He says, "Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry, and seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, 'Let no fruit grow on you ever again.'" And now this is the difference. And Matthew says, immediately the fig tree withered away. The scripture doesn't contradict itself, it completes itself. These accounts may seem contradictory at first glance, but they're not. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, immediately it withered at the roots below the surface, but the decay wasn't visible until they passed by the next day. When we release our authority through our words, they immediately go into action. However, sometimes the effect isn't visible right away. Those words are going to work in a realm that can't be seen yet. Micah taught us about the aorist, say again?
Aorist tense.
Aorist tense, it's unfolding. And I related that to my healing. Once I had that turning point and said, "I am healed," things just started unfolding. And, you know, what this tree withered at the roots and then manifested up through till where people could see it above the ground. You know, my healing was happening and it started coming through my body. And I'm still getting better every day. I am healed. Or things are man. I want to rephrase that. Healing is manifesting itself more and more every day. People are able to see it. In those moments where you cannot see or feel an immediate effect, you cannot just give up. It doesn't mean that your words are not working. They are working. So back to Isaiah 55:11. I'll read it to you this time. So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it. For you shall go out with joy and be led out with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. You guys heard that before? Creation has no choice but to respond to the spoken word of God. Those trees, they had to clap because this is God's word. So we know, based on the word of God, that our words of authority prosper in what they are sent to do. And then we are to go out with joy and be led forth with peace. Which is important, right? So when Jesus spoke to the fig tree and nothing happened right away that they could see with their eyes, he didn't say, it didn't work. Maybe I'm not really the Messiah. No, he understood that his words were working in a realm he couldn't see with his natural eyes. He just moved on in joy and peace. He knew it was working. This is where we have to get to as well. And we need to go forth with joy and peace as well, knowing who we are, the authority that we have, and what God's word has the power to do. Keep speaking the word of God. Do not let the devil or a lack of external evidence steal your joy and peace. That's it. And that was the final one of this authority.
That's what the enemy is going to get when he's going to try to get it. I'll say it for myself. Because I've been working on my believing in a field and not having to go down to the shops, but it steals my joy. I mean, he can steal my joy. And I really
resist.
Yeah. Like you say, just keep saying it. No. You know, by the stripes, I didn't feel.
Don't put a question mark behind it.
I mean, it's already getting better and better, but having joy is an important part of it. Sorry, Dave. I mean, I'm almost going to be a little.
You told me an example where you hurt your hand or your, and then you used your words. Can you share that with us?
You dropped my talk to me.
Yeah.
When I lived down in Martinez, I was doing an exercise the wrong way, and I really hurt my wrist. It hurt really bad, and I was praying over it. I was saying, you know, whatever, but it just kept going on and on. And so one day I called Deanna, and I said, would you please come over and pray over me, And so what we did to begin with, I don't know if I told you this part, we sat down and we thought about everything we believed. We knew it all down. And then we've been praying in tongues a little bit. And then she prayed, saying, all the right things. We know that my authority with the healing of Jesus, mom's wrist is healed, whatever. It didn't immediately, it wasn't like, whoa, something like that. But all of a sudden, it was like the next day or something, I go, hey, my wrist doesn't heal. My wrist doesn't hurt anymore. I had to call her and tell her.
Have faith from God.
That was the most kind of like quick thing that ever happened. But when my ears start ringing, I say, right then, nope, get off of the ears. Get off of the ringing. New ears.
No, I don't get those moments.
On the ground.
You said my face.
It works every time. I don't know why my ringing in the ears works all the time. So And they say to just do that with small things, so that as you grow into something major, you'll have a faith.
Yeah.
So
you gotta start with that little stuff too. You know what I mean?
Well, I had an incident where I went to the eye doctor about my cataracts, right? And so we're sitting there, and I'm accepting I have cataracts. I don't know why I didn't do that. But he said, he said, you got glaucoma. And I said, I like to his face. I said, no, I'm not receiving that. I do not. And I remember Xander saying, Mimi, you got glaucoma. You got. I said, no. And I stood firm, and I said, no, I do not have that. I'm not receiving that diagnosis. And he was telling me I was going to have treatments and all kinds of stuff. And I didn't really want to say anything to anybody, but because Xander was already there, you know, and he heard, I would have kept him under till I went, because I didn't want that being spoken about me. And every time anybody said that, I said, no, I don't. You know, I went back to the eye doctor, and I did not have glaucoma. So you're never going to convince me that we do have authority and power in the name of Jesus to not receive things if we by faith and if we speak it out. Because I told the doctor to his face, no, I don't have that. I'm not having, I'm not receiving that. I'm not. So praise God.
Yes.
For the power that lives within us.
You tend to do that with your doctor.
Oh, yeah. Not tell him what's up.
He makes this at you.
He does. Yeah.
So I only take this medication. Well, I go, didn't you just see my blood results? I don't have diabetes anymore. Why would I take diabetes medicine if I don't have diabetes anymore?
Well,
you know my kid bad.
I don't think you're looking at the test. So I go, I'll come back next time and I won't have it. So it's gone. But yeah, this is kind of still in our basic understanding of who we are in our authority. We are a child of God, and with that comes privileges. And we have, it's like he's deputized us. And then sometimes, like, we forget and we, hey, God, can you do this, God? He's like, I deputized you. I'm inside of you. Speak my words.
There used to be an example of Moses when they got to the Red Sea and Moses asked God what to do. And he said, what are you asking me for? You know, hold up your rod and do it. Versus David, as a young man, knew who he was and he ran towards Goliath shouting out, you know.
Yeah.
You're an uncircumcised Philistine, you know, whatever.
And he started with the small things. He started with the lion, started with the bear,
which is,
and then he went to the giant.
Yeah.
You know, but the smaller than the giant.
Yeah, the fight, the difference.
Yeah, and he was saying, I'm going to pull your head off. We'll cut your. I mean, he was already seeing the vision of what God was going to do through him. So,
yeah. But the woman, well, we just saw with the woman. She said, if I'm going to go, I'm going to touch the hem of his garment, and I'm going to be healed. But David said, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to cut your head off. You know, he saw all that happen, and through faith, he went and acted on it.
One of the just the biggest things with the mustard seed is it's not about how much faith you have. It's about where your faith is being put. And you could have, you know, a swimming pool full of faith, but if your faith is in circumstances and not in God, then but you could have just a tiny bit of faith, and if all that faith is in the Almighty God, then that's all you need.
And what's the opposite of faith?
Fear.
Fear. And so what is worry? It's like having strong faith in your fear. It's working against you. It's that anxiety. It's the worry. It's all focusing on the wrong thing.
Faith produces action. Fear stops it.
Yeah. It's a good study.
Yeah.
Dustin, anything?
No, just prayer requests when you ask for that.
Well, just tell me now.
Oh, okay. Well, Megan didn't. She's not feeling good. That's why she didn't show up today. So I told her that I would have you lift her up.
We will. We'll lift her up. All right. Well, good study. No study this Wednesday. And we will get back on it on Sunday. We're going to start talking about healing, which you know me.
You're excited.
I have healing. And then Micah will start the following Wednesday on a study in Philippians. So that's the schedule.
A lot of joy and peace talk.
That's right.
That's what we should talk about.
Yeah. So, Michael, will you pray us out of here, lift Megan up?
Yeah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this time that we got to spend together. Just thank you for all the mothers in our life and the time that we get to celebrate them. I just want to lift up Megan. Just ask that you be with her. Take away this sickness. Bring your healing hand upon her and make her better, Lord. Pray that you bless the rest of the time today that we have. Thank you for the word that was brought. Just ask that your Holy Spirit will continue to move in all of us and imprint it on our heart what you have for us through all of us. So, in your name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.